Hi everyone. I will tell you about some general guidelines to achieve a good performance in RDMA-based data center applications. And this is joint work with Michael Kaminsky from Intel Labs and my advisor David Anderson. There has been a lot of recent interest in using RDMA in data centers. This is because RDMA networks provide very high bandwidth, low latency, and advanced features at a surprisingly low price. This slide shows the specifications of an InfiniBand NIC that we use in our experiments. It provides over 100 gigabits per second of network bandwidth and under 2 microseconds of round-trip latency. It also supports remote direct memory access, which means that we can access remote memory without involving the remote CPU. And the dollars per gigabyte, dollars per unit bandwidth for this card is much lower than commonly used 10 gigabit Ethernet cards. One of the main problems with using RDMA is that it is difficult to achieve high end-to-end system performance. This is because performance depends on a lot of low-level factors, such as the CPU-NIC interaction, the NIC architecture, and details of the PCI Express bus. These factors are not well understood. The main takeaway from this talk should be the extent to which these low-level factors can affect end-to-end RDMA performance. Before going into any details, let me give you a little RDMA background by showing how an RDMA read works. This slide shows the main components of a machine in an RDMA cluster. It consists of a multi-core CPU that is connected to an RDMA-capable NIC via the PCI Express bus. When an RDMA read request comes from the network at this NIC, the NIC reads the data from the CPU's memory using a direct memory access over PCI Express. This direct memory access involves components of the CPU, such as its PCI Express controller and the layer 3 cache, but it does not actually involve the CPU cores. After completing a DMA read, the NIC sends an RDMA read response back on the network. In this talk, I will use an RDMA-based system called a sequencer to demonstrate how our guidelines and optimizations work. A sequencer is just a server in a cluster that hands out an increasing sequence of 64-bit integers to clients. Sequencers are useful building blocks in distributed systems. For example, you can use a sequencer to assign timestamps to distributed transactions. So whenever a client sends a request to the server responds with the next integer in the sequence. The main performance metric that we are concerned with is the overall throughput achieved by all clients, or the rate at which the server hands out these sequence numbers to clients. Although the sequencer is a very simple system, our guidelines and optimizations are more generally applicable. For example, we have used them for a few other systems, such as a key value store. So to design the sequencer, we go at the RDMA manual and see that RDMA supports a variety of different operations. The first class of operations includes those that bypass the remote CPU and are commonly called one-sided RDMA because they involve the CPU at only one side. This includes RDMA reads and writes, but also atomic operations such as fetch and add and compare and swap. So we can do atomic operations on remote memory without involving the remote CPU. RDMA also supports more traditional messaging operations called the send and receive operations. These are the two-sided operations because they involve both the local and the remote CPU. The fetch and add operation looks great for the sequencer. With fetch and add, all the server needs to do is to expose a 64-bit counter over RDMA, and all the clients need to do is to issue fetch and add on the counter's address. It is basically a magical sequencer in a box that the NIC hardware gave you. So we write the 100 lines of code needed for this very simple sequencer and measure its performance. It gives 2.2 million operations per second, which is really not that impressive. This throughput is actually comparable to what people have achieved earlier using TCP/IP over 1 gigabit Ethernet. And we expect much, much higher performance from our fancy new 100 gigabit RDMA infrastructure. In this talk, I will tell you how we improved the throughput of the sequencer by a factor of 50. The main reason why it is difficult to achieve high end-to-end system performance with RDMA is that RDMA provides us a large number of options to work with. First, there are multiple types of operations, including the one-sided operations on the left and the two-sided operations on the right. Then, there are several different transport layers that the NICs implement. For example, we can choose a reliable transport where the NIC guarantees in-order delivery of messages using acknowledgments. Or we can choose an unreliable transport, which does not have the overhead of acknowledgments, but also does not provide the same reliability guarantees. And then there are several optimizations that we can use, depending on which one our application allows. I will go into the details of a few of these optimizations in this talk, but each of them can affect throughput quite significantly. There are many ways in which these operations, transports, and optimizations can be combined, and that makes the RDMA design space very large. Navigating this design space is difficult because of two reasons. First, determining which design space option is better requires understanding low-level factors such as the NIC architecture and the PCI Express bus. Second, some of these options could seem like a very good fit for our application at a high level, but might not provide the best performance. For example, atomic fetch and add over RDMA is the best high-level match for the sequencer, but it provides poor performance. To help RDMA users navigate the large design space, we have come up with some general guidelines. The first factor that needs attention is the parallel architecture of NICs. Modern high-speed NICs are internally composed of multiple parallel processing units, such as DMA engines and packet processing engines. A good design should avoid contention among these parallel processors, and it should actively exploit parallelism among them. The second factor is the use of the PCI Express bus. If we can reduce the number or size of PCI Express messages, we can get better performance. PCIe messages are generated when the CPU accesses the NIC's memory or when the NIC accesses the CPU's memory. CPUs access NIC memory by mapping it into a process's address space and then by reading or writing it using memory mapped I/O or MMIO. But these MMIO accesses are pretty expensive in terms of CPU cycles. NICs access CPU memory using direct memory access, or DMA, as we saw earlier. I will show MMIO accesses as red arrows and DMA accesses as blue arrows. So let us see how these factors affect the design of the sequencer. The fetch and add-based sequencer has poor performance because it introduces contention among the NICs processors. Over here, I'm showing the sequence counter A in red color in the server's L3 cache. When a fetch and add request for address A comes at the server's NIC, one of the NIC's processors grabs an internal lock for address A using the NIC's internal concurrency control mechanism. Then this processor reads the current value of A using a DMA read and increments it using a DMA write. As there is only one lock, no other processing unit can make progress for this read, modify, write over PCI Express. The latency of the PCIe bus is of the order of 500 nanoseconds, and the throughput achieved by this design is close to the inverse of that latency. If we want lower contention, we cannot use RDMA atomics because the NIC's processors are 500 nanoseconds away from the L3 cache where the counter is stored. However, the CPU cores can access the counter in L3 cache in around 20 nanoseconds. So here's a new design that has lower contention. Instead of bypassing the server's CPU cores, clients involve the server's CPU cores using an RPC-like mechanism. Clients write their request to the server's memory using an RDMA write. One of the server's CPU cores detects this write by polling on memory. It atomically increments the counter and sends a response back to the client. This response can be sent using another RDMA write, but we actually use the send operation for higher scalability. This distinction is not very relevant for this talk, and it is covered in more detail in our SIGCOM paper. This graph compares the throughput of the atomics-based sequencer and the RPC-based sequencer. The y-axis shows throughput in millions of operations per second. Going from atomics to an RPC-based design gets us a 3x improvement in performance, even when the RPC-based design uses only one core. We can definitely add more cores to improve throughput, but first, let us try to improve the single-core performance. Our sequencer throughput is currently bottlenecked by the single CPU core. To improve throughput, we reduce CPU use by reducing the number of MMIOs issued by the CPU core. First, let me show you the default MMIOs that the CPU core issues when it sends out two responses shown in the gray boxes. For every cache line spanned by the responses, the core issues one write to map device memory using MMIO. In this mode, the CPU does a lot of work because it actively pushes these responses to NIC memory. Instead of pushing the responses to the NIC, we can use an alternate pull-based model that saves CPU cycles. In this mode, the CPU rings a small doorbell message on the NIC, telling the NIC that there are more responses available. And this process is commonly called ringing the doorbell. On detecting the doorbell, the NIC reads the responses from the CPU's memory using a DMA read. A very useful feature is that we can ring a single doorbell even when the responses are destined for different clients on different machines. And we call this optimization doorbell batching. I will show a comparison of RPCs with and without doorbell batching on this slide. Without doorbell batching, when the CPU core gets new requests, it does some computation and pushes out the responses one by one using MMIO. With doorbell batching, after doing the computation, the CPU rings a single doorbell on the NIC. The NIC pulls the responses from the CPU's memory and sends them out to clients. When we enable doorbell batching, the CPU core's throughput increases by around a factor of 2. But we can do even better with a single CPU core. The problem with the current design is that it does not use the NIC's parallelism effectively. In this diagram, the single CPU core on the right uses the green network I/O queue to issue responses. As the operations on a queue need to be handled in order, they are all handled by the green NIC processing unit to avoid synchronization among multiple NIC processing units. As a result, the pink NIC processing unit is idle, and the green processing unit, which is handling all of the core's responses, is the throughput bottleneck. To engage the pink processing unit, we just create another queue and alternate between the purple queue and the green queue across response batches. When we give the core three queues to work with, its throughput increases to 27.4 million operations per second, and the combined effect of doorbell batching and three queues is around a 4x improvement in single core throughput. And now we have run out of tricks to improve single core throughput. And the next step is to use multiple cores. Our throughput increases almost linearly and saturates at 97.2 million operations per second with six cores. At this point, the sequencer is bottlenecked by PCI Express bandwidth. You can read about how we determine this bandwidth in the paper. However, we have still not reached the 50x performance improvement goal that I promised. To do that, we need to somehow get past the PCI Express bandwidth limit. The current sequencer is bottlenecked by PCI Express bandwidth because it uses this bandwidth inefficiently. On our hardware, when the NIC pulls one response from the CPU's memory, it reads 128 bytes of data. Let us zoom into these 128 bytes and see what they contain. The first cache line contains a 64-byte header. The second cache line first contains the application-level payload shown in the dotted boxes, followed by 52 bytes of unused space. To reduce our PCIe bandwidth use, we need to bring down the number of cache lines used from 2 to 1. The way we do this is by using an immediate data field in the header for the payload. After doing this, our response consists of only the header and fits in one cache line. An interesting challenge over here is that the immediate data field in InfiniBand is only 32 bits in size. You can read details of how we implemented a 64-bit sequencer using only 32 bits of data per message in the paper. After using the header-only optimization, our throughput increases to 122 million operations per second and exceeds the 50x design goal. At this point, the sequencer is bottlenecked by the NIC's processing power. So that's it for the sequencer, but the paper contains a lot more. We evaluate our optimizations on three generations of RDMA hardware to ensure that the performance improvements are not just due to intricacies of a particular NIC's hardware implementation. We also discuss in detail how RDMA operations use PCI Express and a method to measure PCI Express usage using hardware counters. There's also some more interesting discussion on the performance of RDMA atomics. For example, you might be wondering if atomics would provide better performance if instead of operating on only one address, an application wanted atomic operations on multiple addresses. This is the case, for example, if you want to use RDMA atomics for locking and unlocking in a key value store. In such cases, atomics can provide better performance, but depending on the NIC's internal locking mechanism, there are cases where performance is as bad as with a single address. I want to show one more graph, which shows how doorbell batching improves the throughput of our hard key value store. On this graph, the x-axis shows the number of CPU cores used by the key value store server, and the y-axis shows throughput in millions of operations per second. The workload consists of 16-byte keys and 32-byte values, and 5% of the operations are updates. Doorbell batching improves single core throughput by 83%, and peak throughput by around 25%. One interesting thing to note here is that throughput with doorbell batching decreases when we increase the number of CPU cores from 12 to 14. This is because of a reduction in average response batch size because the same client load is now spread among multiple CPU cores, more CPU cores. On average, there are 14 responses per batch with 12 cores, but only 9 responses per batch with 14 cores. Another interesting observation is that hard does not benefit from using multiple response queues per core. Using one queue per core is a problem only when the CPU core can overwhelm the NIC processing unit handling its queue. This does happen for the sequencer, where the per request processing done by the CPU core is very small. The key value store, however, does much more processing per request, so one NIC processing unit is sufficient. The lesson over here is that not all guidelines are useful for all applications, and that these optimizations require a lot of care. For example, if we use multiple queues for hard, performance actually drops a little bit. This is because the additional memory buffers required for the new queue increase the cache pressure in the CPU. To summarize, in this talk, I told you about some guidelines to achieve high performance in RDMA applications. I discussed how we need to pay attention to the NIC's parallelism and concurrency control, and how understanding and reducing PCI Express transactions improves performance. All the code used in the project is available on GitHub, and thank you.
I'm Hao Zhang from Huawei Technology. So two questions. One is that what's your CPU usage when you run your sequencer?
It depends on the number of CPU cores that we dedicate to it. So each CPU core runs at 100% use. So with one core, we get 27.4 million operations per second, and the core is used 100%.
Okay, and the second is that have you enabled the Intel DDIO feature?
It's enabled by default, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Catherine McKinley, Microsoft Research. Mm-hmm. So this, you're using the CPUs fully just to write the memory, but if in an application, you're going to be coordinating and you might have races, so you're going to have to involve software at some more deeper semantic level. Is that going to erase all these benefits?
As you saw for the key value store, using this durable batching technique helps us a lot. And if we look at some recent RDMA-based systems, such as transaction processing systems, the key value store lookup is actually the most expensive per message operation that the CPU does. So if our optimizations help us for key value store lookups, I think it will also help us for workloads like transaction processing.
So how do you guarantee the concurrency properties in a key value store, like for writes? So you could have two writes coming in on the NIC at the same time. Can you protect against that, or do you need another mechanism?
So they are all handled by the CPU core. So it's very similar to traditional TCP/IP-based RPCs. So the CPU gets a stream, it processes the request one by one from the NIC. So whichever comes first wins.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? I have a quick question, a point of clarification. So you started, your first optimization, I think, was you said that you had a 500 nanosecond latency, mm-hmm. and that limited you, and therefore if you changed it from RDMA to an RPC, mm-hmm. that you got an improvement. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you can elaborate on how that changes the latency of the underlying networking mechanism. Isn't it still doing the same thing?
Yeah, the problem with the 500 nanosecond latency was that it was restricting our throughput to a very low value. In terms of raw operation latency, we have not measured the latency of the atomics-based sequencer versus the RPC-based sequencer. And one reason for that is the atomics-based sequencer provides very low throughput. So it might provide slightly better latency, but because both our designs use a single round trip, so our design might suffer a bit because of some additional CPU processing, maybe a bit of PCI Express latency. But both designs use a single network round trip, and the network round trips are actually the dominant factor.
So the network round trip is faster, but it's the RDMA operation that has a certain fixed latency, and that's where you're getting around. Is that no?
What we got around from the atomics-based sequencer to the RPC-based design is right. That in the atomics-based sequencer, there was only one operation happening per 500 nanoseconds because the NIC processing unit was holding this lock for 500 nanoseconds for the read, modify, okay. write over PCI Express.
Okay.
And no one else could make progress while
okay.
that happened.
Okay, thank you.
Peter Desnoyers, Northeastern. So I guess what I wanted to ask was, had you looked in the sequencer case, had you looked at queue size? Because at first it seems obvious that, you know, your queue depth is going to be whatever your rate is over 2.2 million, but once you get into doorbell batching and so on, you're in fact no longer having the same number of PCI operations, you know, per response. But it still seems like you're talking about in your best case, something like 50 operations in flight inside the server at any one time.
Yeah, so we are considering a case where, for example, in a distributed transaction processing system, we have, say, 100 machines in the cluster, and one mm-hmm. of them is dedicated to be the sequencer, and every machine is running 32 threads. So right. the client load on the server is going to be pretty large, and therefore we can get a pretty good response batching.
Okay, thanks. All right.